You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You've joined us on Thursday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to two jump meetings from Fakenham and Warwick in the afternoon. We're also on the Fibre Sand at Suddle, then into the evening we've got action on the Poly Track at Chelmsford City. There's also an Irish card from Thurles to take in on Thursday, so plenty to enjoy with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the Racing Radio studio from 12:55pm. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to take a quick spin through the latest news stories and look at four races on Thursday is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Good, yes, very good, thank you. Keeping busy lately?
Relatively, yeah. Spending a lot of time here at William Hill, it seems. Mm. But I'm not one to complain. Always enjoying it.
Indeed. And how's the horse, Stephen?
He's not too bad. He's had a little break after his last run at Doncaster. So I'm not sure when we'll see him again, but probably the second half of February, I would think, something like that, as a rough guess, hopefully.
Okay, good. We'll start with a little bit of the racing news then, as we always do, and we'll start with a line out of the Willie Mullins yard. Always one to keep an ear to the ground with, certainly regarding his Cheltenham prospects. And Bells Hill confirmed to head to the Neptune. With such an embarrassment of riches that Willie Mullins has, it's half the battle just knowing where his horses are going, Stephen.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I do think, in fairness, this year, in terms of a lot of horses, we have got some more clarity, but mainly for the championship races, as in we know Vitor's going to run. Well, presumably, actually, he's going to run in the Gold Cup. Mm. Jack Adam's definitely going to run in the Gold Cup. We're going to have Underso in the Champion Chase, Duvan in the Arkell, Fahine in the Champion Hurdle, etc. But it is the novices that we tend to struggle with. So it's good that he's nominated Bells Hill sort of early doors already for the Neptune. And obviously, he's, what, 3 from 3 over hurdles. He's won those three races by a combined total of some 26 lengths, including a Grade 1 at Navan last time out, all on very heavy ground. But he did manage to win on decent ground at the Punchestown Festival, and he ran very close behind Bartus Hill at Aintree on decent ground as well. So in terms of better ground at Cheltenham, should be no problem for him. One slight concern would be the only once he's been out of the first two was when he was running at Cheltenham last year. But, you know, you can always forgive a horse one bad run, I think, at a venue, because otherwise you may end up looking a bit stupid, particularly when he's trained by Willie Mullins.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, indeed. 7-2 market leader Bells Hill then with us here for the Neptune. 8-1 by him. Was that the right call from Willie Mullins in terms of he's got Min for the Supreme anyway?
I would think so, yeah, because Min's has been running over 2 miles. Well, he went over 2-2 the first time and then over 2 miles the second time. But he's been very impressive. He pulls very hard as well, doesn't he? So you'd think a good gallop at 2 miles would really suit Min and not want to stretch him over 2.5 on the second day. And with Bell still winning over 2.4 on his two runs, it would have been the logical choice, I think, so far, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Matters closer at hand then. On Saturday, we've got a Gold Cup trial chase at Cheltenham. A chance to see last year's runner-up, Jack Adam, in action. He's 2-5 for that race on Saturday. Many Clouds and Smad play 6-1. A Failing's Boy at 7-1. Sam Winner 12s, Wakanda 12s, and 25-1 bar. A good chance for us to see Jack Adam, Stephen, because I think in a lot of people's mind, despite the depth of the Gold Cup this year, that second in last year's renewal remains some of the best form on offer.
Yeah, it does, very much so. And obviously his two runs since then have both been pretty solid as well. He's behind Don Cossack at Punchestown, and then he was really impressive when he was dropped back to 2.5 miles at Punchestown again when he won the John Durkin Chase over the Christmas period. He beat Val Cerlito by 12 lengths. And I mean, Val Cerlito's no sort of superstar, but he's a good, solid sort of pattern performer over fences. Fleming Star was only fourth. He obviously won a Grade 1 at Christmas over 2 miles one at Leopardstown as well, so that's given the former a little bit of a boost. And in theory, on the best form that we've seen from Jack Adam so far at Goran this time last year when he won the Thyestes and the Gold Cup, going back up in trips going to suit him. And it's going to be pretty soft ground, I think, by the weekend, and that shouldn't inconvenience him either. And the way the Willie Mullins team have been rampant in recent weeks, I think it's going to be very hard to even try and oppose him. to be fair, for all that it is quite a good race. The opposition's pretty good. Many Clouds obviously won the race last year. He'll have no problem with conditions either. But we all know he's building up to the Grand National. Mm. So how straight he's going to be is going to be a question mark. I think the combination of really soft ground at Cheltenham might test Mad Place a little bit. I know Phelan's boy. I know he came back to form when he won last time out, but I'm still not sure if he's as good as he once was, O'Phelan's boy. I thought Wakanda at 12-1 was quite interesting at this early stage. His handicap form has been very good all season with his wins in the rehearsal at Newcastle and at Ascot before Christmas. And the form is pretty good. He's up to a rating of like 155, which is about a stone below the others. But it'd only take one or two to underperform for him to be just on the fringes. And he's only seven. He's still improving. Sue Smith's still in good form. They won the big race last weekend at Haydock with Cloudy too. So at this stage, that'd be the one that I'd be interested in if I was going to have a bet. But opposing Jack Adam to get beat, I think, is, well, not going to happen. So I won't.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Wakanda, though. Could be going all out for this trial because in this morning's Racing Post, he's been pretty much ruled out of the showpiece event, not actually going to run in the Gold Cup itself.
Yeah, this could be his Gold Cup this year. I think that's a fair point because the owner said that he thinks he's too young at the age of seven to be going for the Gold Cup. He probably needs another year, but he's obviously still improving. So give him a chance to run at Cheltenham, win a big prize or run well in a big prize, and then they can sort of plot a campaign maybe next year if that's what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. But looks set to be William Mullins plundering another decent pot this side of the Irish seat. Is he a viable option for the Trainers' Championship? 10 to 11 each of two, we bet, Mullins and Nichols.
Well, the problem is the one race that obviously does cause a lot of difficulty for them all is the Grand National because it's worth so much. Now, I know when Paul Nichols won the championship, Neptune Collonge won the Grand National. That sort of cemented it for him. But even if Neptune Collonge hadn't won the National, they'd still beat Nicky Henderson by like 100 grand or something like that. Obviously, people didn't fancy Paul Nichols last year and he did win it again. Nicky Henderson doesn't seem to have quite the same strength that he had in terms of the big races when he had, was it seven winners at Cheltenham the year Bobsworth won the Gold Cup? So viable, yes. I think it's something that could happen and it wouldn't surprise me if it did. But I'm still not convinced it will because I think he'd need a lot of them to win. And also, Aintree's not a big meeting, really, that Willie Mullins targets very much. And he doesn't have many runners there. And there's a lot of money off, excluding the Grand National. And then Sandown, Scottish National, was 200 grand. So there's still quite a lot to happen after Cheltenham for the end of the season. So I'd be surprised if he was.
Okay, yeah, still 700 grand behind is Willie Mullins. Just before we move on to Thursday's action, our quick line on General Tufto, some of the nicer news. 175th start for him yesterday at Suddle. Has won 16 races in his career. 14 at Suddle, a very, very popular veteran.
He is a popular veteran and runs the same race. I've seen his last four races at Suddle for one reason or another. And each time he's been out the back, bumped along, doesn't look like he really cares, the 11-year-old, and he plugs on. And when he was third at Suddle before Christmas, I thought he was shaping as though he might just be coming back to form. But he's run the same race the last twice and been beaten a little bit more each time. So I would love him to win there again. I think he's won there 14 times.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Maybe he's sort of grown wise now to what he has to do to win and maybe doesn't fancy it so much anymore. And the handicap has dropped him again. He's ran off 47 yesterday and he was off 54 six or seven runs ago. So he's coming down the weights a bit, but still not really since that run in December looking as though he's about to pop up.
Yeah, fair enough.
But fair play. To get 175 runs out of a horse is a pretty good effort.
Yeah, certainly is. Some achievement, and he owes connections nothing at this point, I guess. We'll move on to look at some of Thursday's action now then. We start with two jumpers from Warwick, and we start with their 220. This is a handicap chase over 3 miles and a furlong. We've got 10 runners down for this Class 4, and a mix of last time out winners and horses who didn't compete and horses who ran a bit below par. An interesting melting pot this race.
It is, yeah, very interesting indeed, because all of them, in terms of making a case for you, could do if you really tried hard enough. Willoughby H is interesting. Fell on his chase debut at Newbury over Christmas for Alan King and Wayne Hutchinson, and that was his first run for over 2 years. So my inclination is thinking he'd been off for over 2 years, he fell on his chasing debut, and he comes into an open handicap as opposed to a novice handicap, which he ran in last time, just sort of dissuades me a little bit. I think after so long off, falling, there's not many positives there to be had. But if you go back to his hurdles form, he stays really well. When he beat Loose Performer by 27 lengths at Weatherby in May 2013, that's quite a decent bit of form. And it wouldn't surprise me if he wins, but I do think he's going to find it a bit tricky. Newton Thistle tends to save his best form for Toaster. His form figures at Toaster on his last four starts are 2-1-2-1. But away from Toaster, he doesn't seem to go as well. Ben Pawling's in good form, though, which is a positive, and he's doing really well at the moment. In fact, Newton Thistle's all four wins are at Toaster as well. So the fact that Warwick's the other way round and not Toaster's enough to sort of put me off him, despite the fact he won last time out. But on the subject of last time out winners, the one that I like is number 9, Bears Rails, was trained by Colin Tizard. I was at Fakenham when he won there on the 20th of December. It was his chase debut. He's a really big unit, Bears Rails, and they basically said he'd taken a bit of time to sort of grow up and, you know, be more furnished, as it were. Fakenham would not have suited him at all. Too tight, etc. But he jumped well, stayed on strongly, and gave a lot of weight to the runner-up Tanner Hill. Tanner Hill then went at Huntingdon in the early part of January, boosting the form, and he was well on top of the line. And I think this more conventional track, at the age of 6, he's very lightly raced as well. He's only had 8 career starts, and it's only his second over fences, and he managed to win a race that probably wouldn't have suited him last time. I think there's more to come. So Bears Rails for me in that one.
Okay, fair enough. Bears Rails then getting the pick there for Stephen. The next race to come then from Warwick comes up at 2:55. This is a handicap hurdle here over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. It's a Class 3 event with 14 runners. Talk us through these.
Yeah, a really tricky race here because Herbert Park at the top showed some really good form for David Pipe in the early part of his career. I mean, he beat a subsequent Cheltenham Festival winner at Exeter nearly 12 months ago. But his form this season has been terrible. He was tailed off when he unseated at Cheltenham, and he was only 5-1 at the open meeting there. And then he was well beaten at Wincanton last time out on Boxing Day. He was outpaced, or seemed to be outpaced, from the early stages of that race at Wincanton. But I think that, and a combination of being a bit lazy, sees them putting the blinkers on for the first time. But he's not shown enough this year to warrant me sort of putting a lot of respect his way. The Boss's Dreams improved but all season. He won well at Plumpton. Found Ascot, I think, a little bit sharp for him, dropping back in trip 4 furlongs in November. But he managed to win, beating Tapaculo, who's a decent horse for Philip Hobbs at Kempton last time. So I think he's got a chance. And the same can be said for Battle Dust as well. He was narrowly beaten at Southall by Cross Park, who went on to win again afterwards. He won at Chepstow, staying on really well, and was only just touched off over course and distance last time out, albeit in a weaker race than this. But he's only had 3 runs under rules, and he's still improving. I am a sucker for an unexposed improving individual. And one line on old Sybarite: if he fancied it, he'd bolt up in this. He's much better than all of these, but he's such an old rogue now, you can't trust him at all. But if he won, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But yeah, again, I don't trust him particularly anymore.
Okay, so the Boss's Dream getting the vote then?
No, Battle Dust, I think. Yeah, and I think the Boss's Dream will be involved as well.
Okay, Stephen's thoughts there on that race at Warwick. We'll go to the 2:30 now at Fakenham. Another handicap chase here over an extended 3-mile trip. The dead 8 runners line up for this at the time of recording. What caught the eye?
Amadon caught the eye, trained by Lucy Wadham and Harry Skelton Rides. Lucy Wadham's got a good record at Fakenham, and this horse, again, he's only had 2 starts over fences. He managed to win at Fontwell back in December, and then stepped up in trip to finish a narrow second at Newbury over the Christmas period. Just his 3rd run over fences, and the others are all pretty much exposed or have got questions to answer. The likes of Frutier, and he's 13. I love the horse, but obviously he's not as good as he was. Before all's not been seen for 300 days. Bucking the trend, pulled up last time out, and Ultimatum De Roy was also disappointing when he last ran. So Amadon for me. The danger, I think, Listen Boy for Nigel Twiston Davis, who ran well at Haydock over Christmas.
Amadon gets the pick there then for Lucy Wadham and Harry Skelton in that 2:30 at Fakenham. One from the All Weather now to round off the podcast. This is the 7:10 at Chelmsford City, a mile handicap here with 7 downs to contest this. What do you make of this bunch?
Again, there's not many really that caught my eye. The top one, Big Time, has rated 85 for his last 6 runs and hasn't managed to win. And I can never seem to get the David Nicholls team right. Captain Lars has been winning at Southall. Although he did win at Lingfield, that was in the cellar, so this is going to be harder for him. Dream Spirit's been disappointing since he joined Jemmy Osborne and won for the yard first time up. And then the others, again, got questions to answer when he's been running in weaker races, aren't very consistent. So the one that's not that has been running well, has been running well at Chelmsford as well, and was 2nd here last time, is exceeding power. So the fact that he's pretty consistent, he's been running well here, which is another thing that Dream Spirit hasn't. His only poor run recently, he has been here at Chelmsford, means that he'll get the verdict.
Thank you very much. There we go. You've been listening to Stephen Powell's selections ahead of the action on Thursday. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Stephen, and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
Remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:55 p.m. on Thursday afternoon with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Ross Briley in the studio. We're jumping at Fakenham and Warwick. We're also on the fibre sand at Suddle. And then in the evening, we've got Chelmsford City for an all-weather card there. There's also Irish action at Thurles throughout the day. So do join Dave, Craig and Ross from 12:55 p.m. You've been listening to William Hill's Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.